Einstein once said, "We cannot solve our problems with the same thinking that we created them." And I think that that is appropriate to think about and discuss as we talk about mental health, because a lot of the problems that we see in mental health are actually not necessarily physical, but a problem of thought. Today on Ask Dr. Gill, I want to talk about 3P psychology, or the three principle psychology. The principles are mind, consciousness, and thought. And I want to go through this and talk about the differences with cognitive behavioral therapy. So stay tuned. Dr. Gill. I'm Dr. Gill Winkleman, your host, and today on the program, I want to talk about something that I don't know if I've talked about on the program, which has more to do with the psychology side of mental health as opposed to the physical side. And when I'm talking about this, I do want to just point out that when someone has something physically wrong, and their ability to sort of recognize their thinking is impaired, this may not be the appropriate way to go with them. And if you have a loved one who is having a thought disorder, understanding the three principles may not be a good way of approach in terms of helping them feel better. Now, there's a caveat here, and that is that oftentimes what modern medicine calls psychosis may actually be a spiritual awakening. And Ken Wilber talks about this in a couple of his books on transpersonal psychology, which is really interesting, and they can look really similar, but they're not the same thing, obviously. And the general way of sort of distinguishing them is the person aware of the fact that they're having strange thoughts or disturbed thoughts? And if they are, and they're worried about it, usually that means that something else is going on as opposed to psychosis. Not always, but usually that's what's going on. And so I just want to, you know, the main thing I want to say is that this doesn't necessarily preclude you from doing other things such as taking the vitamins we've talked about on the program or getting neurofeedback or whatever it is that one needs to do to improve their health. So, and I think that there are many things associated with, I think Einstein's quote is a very wise understanding of our ability to do better in the world. And he also has a few quotes that basically say that the reality that we see and experience is based on our thought. And it's interesting that this is coming from a quantum physicist because it's also part of the three Ps or the three principles psychology idea. And it's also true in terms of some Buddhist thought and so forth. So I'm going to share another quote, which is from Rumi, which is, "Trade your cleverness for bewilderment." And if you have preconceived ideas about this topic, I'm going to ask you to let go and understand that this is something new and hear that. So with that, let's start with the origins of the three principles psychology, or it's also called health realization. It's had a few names over the years, but I think right now it's called the three principles. And It comes from the work of Sid Banks, who actually was not a researcher. He just had an experience of understanding about himself. And he thought he was really neurotic, and it turned out he was actually just asking a lot of questions about reality. And what he realized is that happiness is an internal job. And that's not to say that you can't have circumstances that are horrible around you. It's how you respond to those circumstances that can be incredible for somebody. And there's various authors who've written about this, by the way. But I want to stick with this for now because we don't have a lot of time. So the three ideas, the three principles are mind, consciousness, and thought. And the analogy that I want to start with is that of a movie projector, where you have a film. So for those of you who are younger than, say, 40, in old movie theaters, you would actually have reels of film, which was like, you know, a cellophane on a spindle. And it would go through a projector where the film would move, and each frame on the film was a light would shine through it. And so it's moving to create the action. And that's how films are created, you know, at least used to be. Now it's all digital and digitized, but that's the basic idea. So the projector and the electricity to the projector is mind. The light from the projector is consciousness, and the film itself is thought. So the idea, if you think about this for a minute, this analogy for a minute, is that some people's lives are like sitcoms, and some people's lives are like horror movies. And it's different, and it's all based on their perception of what's happening. Now, I don't particularly like horror movies myself, but some people do. And some people like going to those types of movies because they're very different from their reality. And they learn something about themselves and the world by watching those kinds of movies. It's not necessarily, you know, good or bad. It's just the perception of it. And if you change the film, then the what's projected out there is changed. So mind is an interesting concept. And I think the criticism of the three principle psychology comes from this idea of mind in a lot of the, from what I've read, because it's almost religious, but it doesn't have to be. And, you know, some people say that mind is everything. Some people say that mind is nothing. It's understanding that there's something greater than yourself. And I think that that concept is important, and it's definitely missing in psychology, because particularly today, because it gives us an opportunity to sort of let go of responsibility for things that are out of our control. And as an example, the sun came up today and I had nothing to do with it. And I mean, we assume that we have control over something. And even if we don't have it, and if you don't believe me, next time you're watching a sporting event with your favorite team, think about all of the unconscious things that you do to help your team win. Whether it's rubbing a rabbit's foot or, you know, sitting in a particular place or watching it from a particular location. I mean, these are the things that people do on a regular basis to try and help the situation. And I mean, the reality is you have no control over that, right? So that's kind of the idea with mind. And I think it's helpful because sometimes we fail and blame ourselves for the failure. That's not to say that you shouldn't look within yourself to understand something, but there's not always the case that you're not succeeding is not related to what you did. And I use that as an example because I think I think, you know, oftentimes people fail and then they say, oh, I'm not good enough. And the reality is maybe it just wasn't your time. I mean, so whether it's in a sporting event, business event, whatever it is, that's kind of sometimes that's the case, you know. And I'm a big surfing fan. And recently we had the Eddy, which is this big wave surfing competition. And it's some of the best surfers in the world who are competing. And it basically comes down to luck in a way. I mean, yes, there's skill, but you're dealing with conditions that are changing. And it's not like everybody is out in the ocean with the same opportunity, because they don't have the same opportunity. That's the reality. That's the reality of the sport. Sometimes you try and go for a wave and there's a gust of wind that knocks you off, or sometimes the wave is bigger than it might be and you happen to catch it and that's the wave that wins the event. And generally that's what happens in this event, is the person who gets the best wave happens to be there at the right time. So yes, there's skill, knowing when to go, knowing when to go, but there's also luck in terms of, is this going to show up? So it's kind of an interesting piece. So mind is this idea of everything and nothing. It's this idea that there's kind of a blank slate. And the other thing about mind that's interesting is that our emotional state can tell us if we're there or we're not there. And I'm going to take a short break. And then when I come back, I'm going to talk more about consciousness and thought and explain the last thing that I just said about mind. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome back. This is Dr. Gil Winkleman, and I'm the host of the podcast Ask Dr. Gil. Before I continue about mind, I want to mention that if you have any questions or comments, or if there's a topic you want me to cover, including someone who I could talk to about the topic, please feel free to send an email to info at AskDrGil.com. That's AskDrGil.com. So let's get back to mind, consciousness, and thought. And I wanted to point out a fact about mind in terms of the three principles of psychology, which is that mind has within it these states of contentment, of peace, and of joy. There's an ineffable quality that is it's not that you're not concerned about things in your life, but you're not attached to outcome to a certain degree. And going back to the movie projector analogy, it's as though you're shining the light through the projector, but there's no film in there. And so when you look at the screen, it's just clear. And so there's that clarity that happens as a result of that. Now, I'll get back to this in a minute, and there's a great analogy in terms of clouds in the sky. But I want to talk about consciousness and thought first before I get to that analogy. So consciousness is our ability to perceive. It's the ability to be self-aware, to reflect on something. And a lot of writers talk about how this makes us different from animals. And I'll be honest, I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know that in terms of the three principles, consciousness is this idea of I can see that I'm having an experience of something. And there's a meditation practice where you notice your body and notice that you're not your body. And you notice your thoughts and you notice you're not your thoughts. And you noticed various aspects, your feelings, for example, and you know that you're not your feelings. That's consciousness. That's consciousness, sort of that awareness that there's some aspect of this that I have feelings, I have a body, I have thoughts, but are they me? And in the three principles, as well as certain philosophies, such as Buddhist thought, you would say, no, those aren't who you are. Those are things you have, much like having clothes. And this is sort of the interesting thing about modern psychology is we spend a lot of time looking at thought, which is the third principle, and thought is just stuff. And sometimes it's just stuff going by, and it's something that's just happening as we're perceiving, you know, as we're perceiving things. And it can color our reaction to an event. And if you've ever noticed driving down a street, certain things that you see. Here's an example. You're looking for a new car to purchase, and you start noticing and seeing that car on the street more. Whereas before, you never saw that car. And it's not necessarily that there's more of those cars, but that's where your perception is because that's the thought you're having. And therefore, you become more conscious of those things. And this is kind of the way that we see the world and experience the world. If we have a thought about a particular subject, then our consciousness tends to gravitate towards that thought if we're unconscious about these things. So as a quick example, if you think the economy is terrible, you're going to see signs of that when you're out and about. You'll see going out of business or open storefronts. And likewise, if you think the economy is great, you're going to see signs of that too. A lot of times we prove to ourselves what reality is. And this is the idea in three principles. So feelings can be an interesting piece to this where they can determine the quality of your thought. So the feeling state arises out of the thought. And remember I mentioned about mind, a peace, contentment, joy, that detached way of viewing the world. When you're in that space, you know your thinking is more clear. And if you're having something else come out of that space, your thinking may be less clear. And if you can be in a place where you can make decisions from the peace, joy, and contentment and act from there, it becomes much easier. And if you've ever done a sport and as you're learning, you're thinking about it, and sometimes you're thinking, I can't do this, I'm no good at this, whatever. And then eventually you let that go and then you start doing what it is that you are learning to do, and you realize you're not thinking about it. I noticed for myself with surfing, I got to this level and I would often think and be thinking, oh, wait, can I catch this wave? Can I not catch this wave? Which way is it going? Now I just act and I catch the waves, or I don't. But usually it's when if I start overthinking it, then that's when I don't catch the wave or end up in a situation that is potentially dangerous. So I just want to end with a quick discussion around psychology of mind, or the three principles of psychology, and cognitive behavioral therapy. And I think one of the things that is problematic in cognitive behavioral therapy is because this idea of something greater than us has been stripped out of it, there's a very mechanistic way of looking at the mind, which is, oh, you're having a negative thought, just replace that negative thought with a positive thought. Now, I'm not saying that that's a bad strategy necessarily. I'm just saying that it's definitely not one that will necessarily fix the problem. And that's because you may still be having that thought unconsciously, or if it's trauma-related, that thought may be coming through your physiology. And so to say, well, it's just your thoughts, that isn't necessarily useful. But if you can help someone, and this is the piece about the three principles of psychology, is understanding that you have thought and that you're not your thoughts helps one detach from that experience and be able to have a perspective on it that could be different. And that can be very healing for people. And I have had that experience working with patients over the years where I've given them these principles and they kind of go, oh, wait, I don't have to do that anymore? That's interesting. And it's very freeing for them. So one of the meditations that I have done and I have people do sometimes is you treat your thoughts as though you're watching clouds go across the sky. And eventually they leave. And it's like you just watch them. You don't attach to them. You don't judge them. Or if you do attach to them, you notice you're attaching to them. Or if you judge them, you notice that you're judging them. So you're moving away from the attachment to the thought and the idea and into the consciousness level of being. And that allows you to sort of allow for the clouds to move away and the sky to clear. And that's such a great practice, I think. And, you know, I mean, that's kind of the basis of mindfulness and many Buddhist thoughts, although there are different schools of Buddhist thoughts way beyond the scope of what I can talk about on this program. So anyway, I really hope that you got something out of this. And again, if you have any questions, feel free to send me an email at info@askdrgill.com. Again, that's info@askdrgill.com. And if you like the podcast, put down a thumbs up if you're watching it on YouTube, or give a good review on Apple Podcasts, because it helps grow my listenership. And I hope you have a great rest of your day, and I will see you next time.